You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm Austin Meek of WacoBusinessNews.com. On today's show, we have an inspiring conversation with a local female entrepreneur. Alexandra Benton took over an environmental consulting company at age 23 and has grown the business throughout Texas and Louisiana in the time since. We talk about Alex's youth in Waco, her time at Baylor, and the difficulties and benefits of working in a male-dominated industry. But first, it's the word on the street. If you saw someone walking around downtown last weekend with crumbs in his mustache, chances are it might have been me leaving the Texas Food Truck Showdown, where all these vendors were giving away samples of their delicious food. Put on by the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce, the festival drew over 20,000 people, its third and most successful year thus far. Amanda Haygood, Director of Sports and Special Events for the Chamber, said the staff goes back to the drawing board after each event to start planning how to make the next one even better.
We had more entertainment on the stage all day, which was a hit. We had more kids' activities. We had more things going on. The cooking demonstrations were a huge hit. Just a lot more activity for people to get involved with.
The day-long festival featured 39 food trucks. Contestants served samples of their signature dishes until 4 and then offered a full menu that evening.
We had a panel of judges that came in and tasted all 39 dishes at 8 o'clock in the morning. And they judged on a scale of many different things they were looking at: appearance, taste, execution of recipe, the originality.
Gordo's from Austin won the $5,000 Grand Champion Prize for their gourmet Big Fat Donut. And Waco's own Club Sandwich won Best International Dish for their deep-fried tamale balls. Young Day Moon, who owns Club Sandwich and was featured in this month's Baylor Magazine, donated his prize money to Unbound, an organization that activates local communities in the fight against human trafficking. In other food news, the plans for Milo's storefront have changed. The biscuit company that sets up at the Silos, the Farmers Market, and behind Heritage Creamery had previously announced that they'd make a permanent location on the 300 block of Elm. According to partner Blake Batson and the building owner, Sam Brown, the deal is off. Batson told me that the main reason why Milo won't be moving to Elm was the price of the project, which ballooned the further down the road they went. Making money in restaurants is difficult, and renovations are costly. The Milo building is one of the most move-in-ready buildings on Elm, but, as with almost anything constructed in 1939, it was going to take a lot more than pocket change to bring it into the 21st century. Batson said it would have cost more than $1 million, even with the reimbursement from TIF. But don't worry, Waco. Batson and his partner, Chef Corey McIntyre, still want to keep your bellies full with their delicious biscuits. They're now looking to lease space to keep their upfront costs low. Chances are that they'll end up on Franklin Avenue, either at the Big Green Automotive Building on 11th across from Balcones, or in Franklin Square, the joint venture between Lucre Real Estate and Todd Berenger on the 800 block. Filling out the downtown core by activating long vacant buildings and parking lots, which is exactly what these developers are doing, is so very important because it connects the currently existing businesses and creates a cohesive shopping experience. If you're out spending money, you're much more likely to continue shopping if there's another store next door, rather than one separated by half a block of unfriendly asphalt. Density is one of the cruxes of new urbanist city planning, and we're starting to see more of that mentality in these proposed developments. But downtown's gain is Elm's loss. Milo is one of the strongest brands leading the revival of the Elm Avenue corridor, and their departure is certainly a step backward for the street. But it doesn't change my prognosis for the area. In my opinion, Elm's rich history and its proximity to downtown make it the perfect development opportunity. Given Milo's exodus, this is an ideal time for an enterprising entrepreneur to swoop in and take that building. If you have a big idea and the moxie to pull it off, you can find information about this property and everything else in East Waco on the McLennan County Appraisal District website. This weekend, while you're in the area taking in the sights and sounds of the Art on Elm Arts Festival, start dreaming about what you wish East Waco had and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know what you wish could come to the neighborhood. Last Friday, at a party attended by about 300 people at the company's headquarters, the Dwyer Group released Neighborly, their comprehensive home services platform. Waco Business News attended the launch and sat down with Mike Bidwell, president and CEO of the Dwyer Group, which specializes in franchising service brands and is one of the largest employers in Waco. Dwyer owns 13 franchises that offer things like painting, window cleaning, groundskeeping, and other home services, and they hope that Neighborly will help connect customers with other Dwyer brands.
Currently, when we look back at the prior 24 months, only 2% of customers that used one of our brands had used another one, which is, you would think it would be higher than that just by accident, and it isn't. So we knew we needed to do something, but there was no reason for a customer to know that our brands were tied together, that there was another service provider in another vertical that would deliver the same high level of service. So we picked a brand, Neighborly, to do that, and we intend to make them aware that we have a large portfolio of service verticals.
The website, getneighborly.com, is super user-friendly. All you have to do is type in your zip code and choose which service you're looking for. Appliance repair, Christmas lights, electrician, and you can book your appointment online.
Not only can you select a service provider, but if you'd like to enter a profile, you can set up a profile. And if you've used our services in the past, your service records will show up there. You can also, whether you've used this or not, you can select service reminders for your home or property. Whether it's things you want to do yourself, like change your air conditioning filter, maybe it's other quarterly or annual things that need to be taken care of, like drain your water heater, you can select those service reminders, and we'll help you stay on top of those. We'll send you those reminders. And if you don't want to do them, we're happy to send a service provider to do it for you.
The site also has a ton of blog content. Decorating ideas, 10 tips to keep your bathroom squeaky clean, how to deal with the side effects of mold. The idea is that if you use Neighborly enough, it'll almost serve as a Fitbit for your house, automatically monitoring the health of all of your home services.
It's an all-encompassing website about your home. So if you got a question about how to care for your home, you can go there and perhaps find the content you're looking for. If you need some help with those issues, you can find a trusted, vetted service provider that you know is licensed, and you can read reviews. So there's local reviews by your neighbors that rate the franchisees, so you can see the type of service that you're going to get. But I'm pretty confident that you're going to find that it's great service because we have very high customer scores.
If you don't have access to a computer but are wondering what to do about that black mold around the rim of your kitchen sink, you could always get in touch with Alex Benton of ACSI Environmental Consultants. She grew up in the environmental industry and stopped by the KWBU studios earlier this week. We talked about how she's grown the company she took over in her early 20s and how life in Waco has changed in her 3 decades of living in the area. We're now joined in the KWBU studios by Alexandra Benton. Alexandra is the owner and president of ACSI Environmental Consultants. Alexandra, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Now, so grateful to have you here, in large part because of the work you're doing today, but also because of your history in the area. I know you've grown up in Waco. You've seen its transformation. So walk our Downtown Depot listeners through your timeline being here in the Waco area.
Yeah, well, I think technically probably a fourth generation Wacoan.
Wow.
We have, both sides of my family have been here for a very long time, as well as Cody's, my husband's. So we are Wacoans. We tried to leave. It sucks you in. We didn't get to. We came back. But my parents grew up here, my grandparents. I grew up here, of course, in China Spring.
Do you know what your grandparents did or your great-grandparents?
Yeah, so my grandparents, well, I'll start with them. My grandparents, my grandfather on my father's side worked at the glass plant for years, and my grandmother worked at a car dealership down on Franklin.
So those have been there for a long time.
Yeah. Actually, the dealership that she was in was destroyed in the tornado.
Wow.
They were in a shed outside, and that survived, but the building didn't. It was very crazy. It was a Cadillac dealership. That's all I know. And then on my mother's side, my grandfather was in the he was actually in the Air Force, and he got moved up here as an accountant for some help with another company, and my grandmother was a nurse. And so they came here. Fort Hood was close, so my grandmother was at Fort Hood being a nurse. And then I think his Air Force ties ended when he came here, but he started doing accounting. So that's where those sides of the family come from.
And so what was growing up like for you?
Growing up, I I mean, Waco was just home. It wasn't small to me. It wasn't boring. I don't know. It was normal. It was just Waco. It was home. When we moved out to China Spring, that became country, which really isn't, you know, a whole 20 minutes away from Waco. So growing up was just kind of a stone's throw. We were always back and forth from being in China Spring into Waco, school and with my parents' work. So.
And then high school?
High school, I was out in China Spring, and I did competitive cheerleading in Waco. So most of my time was spent in Waco.
And then you love the area so much, decided to stick around and go to Baylor?
I just couldn't leave. Yeah, I had to stay. I wanted to go to Baylor. My grandfather on my mom's side went to Baylor, and it was just something that was kind of pulling me. I wanted to go. I wanted to stay. I liked that it was a Baptist university, which is also in my family. So I said, I'm going for it. So I stayed, and I loved it. I did not want to leave.
You mentioned the Waco suck earlier. There's just this sort of presence that just pulls you in right. The longer and longer that you're here. At different periods of your life, I'm sure you have appreciated Waco for various reasons. You know, the Waco when you're 15 years old is different than Waco when you're 25.
Correct.
What is the Waco suck for you? What's the thing that when you look back over your, you know, 3 decades almost living here in Waco, what are the things that have kept you here?
I think it's the community. It's the family that you build in Waco. I guess growing up, of course, my family was here, sure, but it became this different sense of community that I had in Waco. I've always been very community involved through high school, college, even as an adult. It's just something that I've always done, and it sucks you in. You want to be a part of it. You want to see it grow. You want to see it change. Waco has been up and coming for God knows how long. And it was fun to be a part of that climb. I don't know. I don't know what keeps us here. It was always something we talked about at Baylor, too, new students. Why did you stay? Why are you here? I don't know. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I've heard this concept of the Waco suck since I was a student at A&M. I remember kids in Waco telling me about that. And at that time, there was very little evidence for me as an outsider to understand why anyone would feel sucked into Waco.
Right.
But now that I'm here, I do feel that. And for me, yeah, the community is great. The people are great. But for me, the suck is the opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that not everything has already been done.
Yeah.
You know, like you can start the very first pie shop in downtown Waco if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a litany of things that Waco still needs. And it's cool to be a part of, you know, just part of supplying those services.
Yeah, and sometimes even being in Waco, I don't even know if we see it that way sometimes. It wasn't always, what can we bring here that isn't here? It was always, how can we make this better? How can we make it better for the community? How can we make this easier for those wanting to join in, you know? And I guess with outsiders, with people, with Waco getting so much attraction now and people wanting to come, it is so interesting to watch things be tailored to this community. Things that are done elsewhere, things that are done in big cities, different companies, retail, whatever it is, and watching it happen here our way, because it is a little different,
sure,
is very interesting. I enjoy it.
Are there a few people or retailers in Waco that you feel like are really doing a great job of making their own particular Waco brand?
Yeah. It's so weird. I guess as Waco has gotten busier and more attractive to people to come to, because it was more like a pass through. You had to go through Waco to get to Dallas or Austin, whatever it was. But now there are certain things that are Waco. Of course, Magnolia, the Gaines have done a fantastic job, as we know. But then I have friends in local business. You guys, you know, do a great job with Pokio's. And then Kate Duncan with Wildland has really made a staple on Waco's fashion. I mean, we didn't have anything local really that stood out, in my opinion, for the younger crowd. I mean, there was other things tailored towards game day and Baylor and that kind of thing, but Kate has this young professional culture that follows her that, like, they want to be the it girl in Waco, and that's so fun.
And it's great seeing when people have a platform using that to push other people up. For instance, one of the jewelers whose stuff that Kate carries at Wildland is Ellen Moat. Mm-hmm. And Ellen now has just really within the last month or so exploded at the Magnolia Spring at the Silos. And you're starting to see her jewelry in the Magnolia Home Journal. And really cool that people are using, you know, that spotlight to highlight other local artists.
Yeah, I think that's the best part about Magnolia, in my opinion, seeing it from a Waco into perspective, because there definitely is a different perspective being here. I think it's so interesting that they do highlight local businesses, local artisans, and they really do focus on that to make it bigger and better in Waco and surrounding, like you're saying, with their journal, even putting it on their Instagram or her blog, whatever it is. And it's just skyrocketing. It's really helpful for people in town that are trying to get where they're going.
I really credit Joanna to a lot of our success of Pokio's.
Sure.
Because right when we first opened up, we opened up April 2015, they heard about the truck. Joanna was obsessed with our maple pecan cookies. She wanted to come and have us go out to the reveals. And she posted one photo of Julia and me and her and Chip. And it seemed like ever since that day, we were just getting, here's 10 followers, 15, 20. Now we've got almost 25,000 people who follow us across our social media accounts. And part of that's because cookies and ice cream are delicious, and people want to see it when they're sitting in their office just alone and sad and miserable on a Monday. But certainly there is a sense of camaraderie with the businesses in Waco that want to – they understand, you know, the rising tide rises all boats. And so it's cool to see how many people are on the same page. But, yeah, a lot of great work being made, some of it being done by your husband. Your husband, Cody Benton, is the owner of Reckless Ironworks. They've done a lot of the metal work that you've seen on Fixer Upper and throughout a lot of local businesses here in Waco, the Wildland Sign. He'll be doing a lot of stuff for us at Pokio's. Talk a little bit about what Cody's been involved in lately.
Yeah, so Cody is a metal artist, I would call him. Anything with metal he can do, but he primarily specializes in custom one-off ironwork creations, whether that's a sign or something for home decor, handrails, whatever it could be. Cody really takes anybody's vision and makes it real, sometimes better. I do not have that vision, so he does a fantastic job. But he started working for Magnolia a couple of years ago, which, funny enough, he's known them for years, as most of us have in town. And it was just kind of a fluke, and it kept going. I mean, it's been our life for the last 2 years, and then he's kind of spurred off into more stuff. So it's been very interesting.
So how do Cody and you cope with both being professionals and trying to maintain a relationship? I mean, you guys have been together for a long time, so I guess you've kind of got this worked out.
Kind of. I think it's day by day. We didn't always start as owning our own businesses. Of course, we had other jobs, and then we both grew into this professional world of, oh my gosh, we own a business and we have to run it and it's on our shoulders. And, you know, it's a different world than being in a regular situation where you're pulling a check and you just go to work, you know. Cody and I definitely have struggles with both of us running our businesses at the same time, and they're polar opposites. I do environmental consulting, not fun. He does, you know, custom projects for big companies. So he gets to do all the fun, creative stuff that I like to dream about. So it is interesting. We both turn our wheels in different directions. It's fun. Yeah.
But at least you're going the same direction.
We're going
even if
the same
going
direction.
Different speeds, you know, different sizes.
I like to say that Cody, he's so creative. I feel like he just grabs things out of the air and puts them in order. And I'm so type A. It's maddening. So I like to go A to Z. And Cody will never be in one straight line. He is all over the place. He's all over. And I'm just like, oh, gosh, it needs to be done this way. So that's fun to watch two different personality types run businesses.
Sure. Well, and your company, ACSI, been doing environmental consulting for over 25 years in Texas and in Louisiana. You have to have a certain level of drive and of discipline in order to manage something like that.
Yeah. It is it's a different world. Professional consulting goes many different places, but in the environmental industry, it's a hard game. We are constantly covering different things that we've never done before. You know, that it's always the same realm, but no project is alike. Every single thing is different. There's always a different, you know, part to it that we have to figure out as a consultant. Keeps me on my toes for sure. Nothing's the same.
So you moved into ACSI after it had already been founded. You didn't start the company.
Correct. Yeah. No. It actually is based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's been there for 25 years. I bought it 6 years ago from my father, who actually bought it from a friend just to help a friend out. They were getting out of the business. He said, I'll take it over for a while. And he did nothing with it. He just let it run. And I was at a point to where I really wanted to make a change, and environmental work is in my blood, something I've grown up loving. And so I wanted to jump in. So I bought the company in 2011, and I ran with it. And it's been a wild ride bringing it to Texas. And I mostly do federal work here in Texas myself. So that has been, it's just different. It's different than I ever could have imagined. When you think of, oh, I'm going to own a business and run a business, you have no idea what you're doing. Figure it out every day.
So how did that conversation go? You know, you as a someone in your mid-20s show up to Baton Rouge and tell an office of, you know, grizzled environmental consulting vets that you're now their boss.
Yeah, I was young. I was 23 years old walking into an office of, like you said, vets. All of my people are retired. All of my men are retired men, that this is just kind of their side job slash now their full-time job again. Walking in, I think they probably thought it was a little strange. They're probably like, what are you doing here? Who are you? And I took the reins. I ran with it. I rebranded the company and refocused our efforts, and we grew exponentially in 3 years. It was crazy. It was so
fun. So what did you
fun.
Change? What did you have to cut, and what did you focus on?
Yeah, so our company in Baton Rouge, based on what they've always done, was asbestos, lead, and mold consulting, and we do asbestos training. I didn't think our efforts in our industrial sector were big enough, because there's so much work in southern Louisiana industrial-wise, and I didn't think that our environmental training was big enough. So those were the two things I mainly focused on, rebranded those efforts, and went for it. We did a lot of grassroots efforts. I personally was door-to-door in Louisiana for a while, getting business, meeting contractors, trying to get our name out there and put a new face to the name. It had been the same couple running the company for 25 years, and now it was me. It was different. And so I jumped in, and we just started growing. We started getting bigger contracts, longer contracts, and changing our training structure. And it really, it's been great. Brought me to Texas.
We're talking with Alexandra Benton, owner and president of ACSI Environmental Consultants. You're here on Downtown Depot on KWBU 103.3 FM. Alexandra, there are a lot of male-dominated industries, yours being one of them. Do you have any advice for females who are going into these types of work environments?
Yeah, I think always hold your head high and don't see yourself as any different. I don't ever go into a project feeling like I'm any different from the men across the table from me. I always feel well prepared, knowing that I'm in this industry for a reason. I'm in this spot for a reason, and it's because I can handle it. So I meet so many other women in this industry, funny enough, and we all feel the same. We all feel we can do this. We're in here. We've got this. We know what we're doing. We're ahead of the game. And I think you just have to hold your head high and be willing to take a little bit of pushback, because you're going to get it, especially in the contracting world. You're really going to get it. You got to go forward.
Yeah, that's something that Julia has always mentioned when she talks about. My wife, Julia, used to live in Los Angeles. She was a stand-up comedian, working comic for 2 years. And you know, you always hear about women in comedy, and comedy is such a male-dominated industry, but like, she always said that, well, I was funny, and they were looking for funny women because there weren't a ton of funny women out there,
right.
And so I was actually benefited by these gender stereotypes and
yeah.
the male-dominatedness of the industry, because people wanted to highlight me and my business.
That's totally true. That's totally true. 9 times out of 10, I will go into a meeting or a contractor's, I guess like a pre-bid meeting, like we're all in there to fight the same battle. And I feel like I'm always one of the ones that's talked to most, because they're so interested. What are you doing? How do you do this? So tell me how you do this differently, because there are different perspectives. It doesn't matter who you are. That happens man to man too. But it is a little bit of a leg up, because it's different. It's noticed. And as long as you're prepared, you can really take that step.
So what are the next steps for the business? Have you really charted out what you want this company to look like in the future?
Yeah. My next steps in Texas are to have our own training facility here, just like Baton Rouge. We are working to get our Texas state license in hand. We have it approved. So we are just waiting to get it in hand so that we can start training here. That will be asbestos and safety training here in Texas, probably Central Texas.
So what did you study at Baylor?
Marketing.
So not in this field.
Not environmental science, no.
But does that still help you in marketing your business?
I think you market your business every day. Every conversation, you're marketing your business. It doesn't matter if you're fighting a contract. It doesn't matter if you're going after new work. Obviously, you're marketing there. Or if it's day-to-day operations, you're still basically marketing what you can do for other people. And I think that's been so helpful for me because I understand those working parts.
Well, April is turning out to be a big month in Waco. We've got Brazos Nights coming up this Friday. Mm-hmm. There's a Magnolia event that's for locals only that's going to be happening in the next weekend. But what do you have on tap for April? You got anything exciting coming up?
Yeah, we have just started meeting with a big local company, and it's something I'm not at liberty to say at the moment.
Okay.
But it is huge for us, and so we hope to have our first big site visit with them and go forward. And then April, spring begins our busy season for consulting. So in Baton Rouge and here in Waco, we are slammed. We're booked. So it's good. We're working hard.
Well, this is Alexandra Benton of ACSI Environmental Consultants. She's staying busy, but not too busy to stop by Downtown Depot
not
and hang out
busy.
A little bit. Alex, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
There's a ton happening in the world of Waco, and we at WacoBusinessNews.com are honored to keep you informed. Find more content on our website and check iTunes and the NPR One app for previous episodes of the show. We've got a fun next few days on tap with the Brazos Nights at the Suspension Bridge, the Narathon skateboard race at Cameron Park, Art on Elm, and Magnolia's Locals Only event happening this Wednesday at the Silos. Get the latest info in between shows by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Waco Business News. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.